What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie. And happy Monday, our pod besties. It is really gloomy here in Chicago. Like, my mood is low right now. I hate the wintertime, especially in Chicago, just because the sun disappears. It was snowing a lot yesterday, and there's so much traffic. Well, you went through so much traffic, right? You were, like, driving around the city?
Yes, I had to drive home to the suburbs, and it took me, I'm not even kidding, an hour and 45 minutes, probably. I was, like, bumper to bumper.
And how long is it typically?
Like, on a good day with no traffic, 50 minutes, hour tops if it's,
yeah,
like, trafficky. But it was horrible.
No, I know. Like, I had to run errands, and just having the snow slap you in the face and you come home wet. One thing about Chicagoans is we own a lot of, like, water-resistant, water-repellent, like, winter gear, because obviously there's a lot of snow and a lot of rain during this time. But the, you know, the feeling of just coming home, just soaking wet, like,
yes,
your, like, earmuffs are wet, your gloves are wet. I don't know. Your, like, hair is wet from the rain or snow. It's the worst. Like, I don't know. I just, sometimes I'm like, should I move to somewhere warmer? Like, should I go to Miami? Should I go to, like, I don't know, somewhere in California?
See, I love winter only because I just love snow and I like seasons. And, like, living in a high rise when it's snowing is absolutely my favorite thing ever. It's like living in the clouds.
Like, you're in a snow globe.
Exactly. But then when you're downstairs walking around in the slush, because in the city, obviously the snow doesn't stay snow. It becomes muddy slush and it's disgusting. And that's the part I hate. But, like, if you're out in the country or, like, in the mountains, the snow is so pretty. It's so pretty.
Wouldn't it be worse? Wouldn't it be more slushy because of all, like, the mud and dirt in the countryside?
No, because in the snow or in the mountains, it snows so much. So it's, like, you know, it's, like, colder.
One thing about Deep D is she turns everything into a little positive. I just want to vent about the snow. And she's all like, she goes, no, it's beautiful.
Okay, this is the first time it snowed in Chicago, right? And immediately my mind went to Lorelai Gilmore from Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I need to go outside and smell the snow. I'm like, what's wrong with me? But I think it's because I'm a January baby. So I've learned to love this time of year.
And you romanticize your life. I've noticed that about you a lot. What do you mean? Oh, I don't think that's a good thing.
You're like, bye. Okay, Scrooge.
Like, everything that we do, she goes, she, like, appreciates it so much. And it's like, this is so lovely. And I'm like, the fuck?
I know, I saw you yesterday in your giant parka with your hood up. And I was like, oh, that looks cold.
And then she's like, wow, the snow, it's so beautiful. And meanwhile, I saw Deep D yesterday and I'm miserable. I was all like, bye. I was like, don't romanticize this moment. I was like, I'm miserable. I know you're miserable too. Oh. If you really looked it deep into your heart, I know you feel the same way I do. But anyways, can I tell you something that happened to me a week ago?
Please tell me.
Okay. I don't think I told you this yet, but I ran into my ex at Target. So an ex that I dated in my early 20s. And it was very, very weird. Like,
okay.
When I saw him, he looked really good. Like, he was in his, like, business casual attire, like, ooh, about to go to work. And I guess he was stopping by Target to get, like, a protein shake. Meanwhile, I'm coming back from a workout class. So, like, my hair is really sweaty. I'm just actually sweaty in general. Like, there was still sweat on my forehead because I was so hot and sweaty. Like, I was just gross. And I was also carrying XXL toilet paper.
It had to be XXL, huh?
Yeah. I'm carrying it like in front of my body, like in front of my chest. And I hear, "Hi, Natty." Natty's my childhood nickname. And I was like, "Oh my God, hi."
"Hi, Natty Light."
And he goes like, "Hi, how are you?" Like, he goes, "You look great," which I was like, "You're a liar." And he goes, "I heard you were on Love is Blind." And he goes, "I didn't watch it, but I heard you came out great." And because I haven't seen him in like 5-6 years.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I fell in love with this man again. And yeah, that was it. He just like walked away from me.
Hey,
and that's when I know that was like the universe did not want this to happen, because the universe, first of all, I looked really bad and sweaty, and the universe put XXL toilet paper in my hands as I was meeting him. And I was like, I just feel like that was a sign. Right?
Or it could be like, you know, who cares if he still reaches out to you after this?
He didn't.
Okay, but there's still time. Do you see he had a ring or anything? Was he single? So
I told our mutual friends about seeing him, you know, after it happened. Mm-hmm. And they were like, "Oh, he's single, blah, blah." I was like, "Oh my gosh, he's so good looking." I even like creeped on his social media, totally single. And one of my friends confirmed like, "Yeah, you know, I think I heard he is single still." So I was like, "Oh my gosh, maybe he'll text me." So we had a little bit of a tumultuous breakup. So I actually went to my phone.
Okay. Tell
and
me.
I realized his phone number was still blocked. So first I unblocked it right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was waiting for the text.
Okay.
Just never came. He was over it, done. But I was thinking, I was like, maybe I was supposed to look like the way I did because the universe was saving me.
Interesting.
From going back to a tumultuous relationship and an ex.
Yeah, because we know that there's a reason why you don't ever go back to your ex. If it didn't work out the first time, like it's, I don't know, the probability of it working out the second or third or fourth, and I know this from experience, is very, very low. Like, stop trying to make it happen.
No, I know. My DeLulu brain is like, well, like, you know, like we dated almost 9 years ago and maybe, you know, we grew up and changed.
But
I have a feeling this was God and the universe saying like, nope, stay away. And the God and the universe did this by making me look so bad. He was like, I'm definitely not texting her.
Hey, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and you might be being harsh on yourself.
No, I looked pretty bad. I saw better days. I think for me, what really embarrassed me, like when I saw him and he walked away, I got my phone out and I looked at myself using the camera and I saw little sweat droplets on my forehead and, you know, on my mustache. I got mustache sweat and I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, truly a higher power hates me.
Or the higher power is trying to pivot you away from a mistake you could be making twice.
No, I know. I was like, this is either karma for something I did, like I must have done something really bad, or this is protection.
That is, I always believe the positivity in me is like, that's protection. Yeah. That is,
it was my
protection.
Ancestors who were like, stay away from her.
Yeah. Block shield. Like, and then they add the little sweats.
They were like, we're going to put the thought in her brain to get XXL toilet paper. Yeah. And then that was like my shield. But anyways, it's kind of weird. It's also very strange. I know we talked about this in last week's episode about how, like, you know, the thought that people in our past potentially watched the show and what they thought about as they watched us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just kind of weird to think about, the fact that, I don't know, like he knew that I had been on the show, because we don't have a lot of connection points. Again, I haven't talked to him in several years. And our only connection point really is my friend who works with his brother. Mm-hmm. So that's how she knew that he was single or potentially single. I don't know. So it was just like a weird feeling of the thought of like, what were they thinking? You know, hearing that I was on the show, or like if they watched the show. It's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, no, yeah, actually, I'm with you on that. But it's also funny, you're right, like when people from your past kind of pop up, I always think about it and I'm like, is this like a sign that I should be pursuing something that like is left unresolved, or like, Oh, like, should I get back with this person? It wasn't that bad. But it's almost like, I see it almost as like a test from the universe. I mean, Also, friends, pod besties, take a shot every time me and Natalie say universe in this episode. I
know. It's our favorite word.
Like, yeah. Like, it's kind of like a test. I don't know. Like, have you learned your lesson or are you going to repeat the same mistake, you know? So.
I know. They're like, stay strong.
Yes.
I was like, I didn't need to do anything, actually, because literally he was like, what the fuck?
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Here's the thing. I just feel like for anyone with a really hot ex, and if you're single, it really is the worst when you see them again and you don't look your best. It really yes. killed me inside.
Oh,
like, and 100%. I was being all awkward. Like, I was like kind of, what is that word? Why can't I even think about it? This is how I was speaking, where I'm like,
you're all flustered. Like,
yeah, I'm all flustered. That's when you're stumbling over your words. That's what I was yes. trying to say. And you're all flustered. That's how I was acting. Cause I was like embarrassed. And I feel like he's like, oh Jesus. Like, what's going on there?
It took you back to the time you were dating him. You're like, oh God, that's old me. No.
Cause one thing about me is like, sometimes if I am feeling a certain way, I'll just say it. Like if mm-hmm. I'm like, if I know I don't look good, I'll be like, I know I look really bad, but like I'll say it, but sometimes that's like cringe to say, which it would have been in this instance.
Yeah.
I didn't. And I like was trying to like prevent myself explaining why I looked the way I did and why I was carrying XXL toilet paper. Yeah. But he did say, he goes, oh, for the IBS, eh?
So what you're saying is you're unforgettable. He remembers a lot about you.
I know. He's like, I was like, yeah, duh, of course. Like, and I responded just being, you know, like laughing. I was like, oh, duh. Like, you know, of course. But in my head, I was like, oh Jesus. Like, what is going on? I was like, God, I was like, please get me out of this situation.
You're like, yeah, you know that stomach.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, I can't control my bowels.
Oh no. I would die if you said that. I'd be like, I gotta go. See you never. I'm just kidding. Power to all the IBS girlies.
Anyways, well, that's what happened with me, but I feel like a lot is happening with you, Deep T. I feel like you've been going through some changes the last few weeks, if you want to share.
Yes. No that's exactly why Natalie and I are recording remotely today, for those of you who are watching, but I'm feeling a little bit under the weather today. It's probably because my body has been going through so many changes. I finally froze my eggs and went through that whole process. And I'm excited to kind of dive into this topic because I feel like it's become more relevant now more than ever, especially when it comes to obviously reproductive health and just like planning for families. And that's exactly why I decided to freeze my eggs. But before we go in and get started, I just want to talk about what egg freezing is. I feel like a lot of women that I've talked to, either they've heard it in passing, they kind of know what it is, or they have absolutely no idea.
for me, I heard of egg freezing, but I knew nothing about the process. Like, all I knew was like, oh, like you'll be freezing your eggs at the end to use for a later use or when you need them, when you're ready to have children. But that was it. So going through the preliminary steps with you on the egg freezing process was like, not overwhelming, but I was just like, oh my gosh, I do not know a lot about egg freezing, but also fertility in general. So I don't know, just I think it's important for people to know what it is and also why we did it.
Exactly. That's what it was for me too. When I went in to just have like that first conversation around egg freezing, I was like, oh yeah, cool. Like you just do some injections and, you know, you freeze some eggs. But there's so much to learn about your hormones and how your body responds to the medications and just the uncertainty that is egg freezing throughout the entire process. There's not one moment where I was like, okay, cool. This is exactly what's going to happen to my body. Like the results are very unknown, which is exactly why I think people should go in and get that baseline testing or just kind of try to understand more about what your body can do. But essentially, egg freezing is a medical procedure that allows women to preserve their fertility by freezing and storing their unfertilized eggs. So these are not going to be embryos, which are way different. And this process involves hormone stimulations to produce multiple eggs. You retrieve those eggs and then you freeze them. When they're ready to be used, then, you know, it's a whole nother process. So that hormone stimulation essentially is all the injections that you're taking. But I feel like this entire process has been so empowering for me, though. All the injections that I did and all the appointments and the ultrasounds. And I'm like, wow, I did that all by myself. Didn't have a partner. But of course, I had family and friends. But I just thought to myself, I'm like, wow, my body is capable of doing so much. And I thought that was like the coolest part.
Yeah. And the science behind it and how it all happens. Like, I just find it so fascinating.
Yeah. And Natalie and I have partnered with OVA Egg Freezing Specialty Center here in Chicago, and they have been around for 30 years. So they definitely know what they're doing, and they just make you feel so comfortable. Every single person that works there, I feel like, is my new friend because, like I mentioned earlier, I literally have been into that office basically every day. So it's like a second home to me now. I think it's so important to feel comfortable during this entire process with the people that are helping you out. And OVA is exactly that. I feel like it's also decorated so beautifully there. So you feel like you're just at home. It feels really great. It's important to talk about why we wanted to go through egg freezing in the first place. And I think it's about having choices. And fertility naturally declines as women age, especially after the age of 35. So freezing your eggs at a younger age, typically in your late 20s or your early 30s, is really good because that just means that you have higher quality eggs and you can use them down the line so you're not pressured by a timeline. And I think that's exactly why it was so important for me, because I'm 33 years old and I don't know, I just wanted to have that like security, I guess. And it is a very empowering process, but it gives me the flexibility to focus on my career, my goals, and not just be worried about, you know, finding a partner really quickly and then having babies right away instead of just enjoying life. And so I think that was really my big why.
Yeah. And just to clarify, in terms of where I am in the egg freezing process, I have not started. So I did an initial baseline overview. And there are some things, and I'll talk about it in a later episode because I don't have a lot of information right now and I don't know what my next steps are. I am doing another baseline overview in December just to see like where my body is at. But the test results that I received from that baseline overview, the nurses recommended that I take a pause in starting the egg freezing process. I'm hoping to start it next year, but we'll just have to see what the test results are for my next baseline overview. But I'm so glad I even got that baseline overview done because I would have known nothing about my fertility health without it. Like, I cannot believe that, you know, I haven't done any testing to provide like an overview of my fertility health ever. until this point at age 32. So it was just really important because I do want to have kids someday, maybe not right now. Again, I think I'm in the same boat as Deep D, where I do want to focus on the podcast and my work and other things and exploring the world. But eventually I do want a family, and I'll definitely share more in a later episode when I have more information.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This entire thing has taught me that there is a sense of community amongst all of the women too. Like, every single person that I met at OVA who is also going through the process, and even my little sister is doing it, and she's 5 years younger than me. Like, every single person has such a unique journey with it, and there's highs and lows to it at all points. Like, for me, it was pretty easy to do the injections, but my sister, it was a little harder. So like, I would actually go to her place and help her with it. Oh, and
that's so cute. That's so, nice.
Yeah. And it kind of like bonds you too. And all the women that I talked to there, they were talking about how this is their second or third time going in and doing another round of egg freezing. So it does bring you closer to people who are kind of going through the same thing. And I'll share a little bit about my journey. I did go through the process and I had a good follicle count. My hormones were pretty balanced and good. But, you know, towards the end, I didn't get as many as I thought I would get. And I'm considering doing another round. But I don't know, at this time, I'm kind of just allowing my body to heal from the first round of hormone injections. I feel like I put my body through a lot, so I kind of wanted to get back to a normal baseline before I do it again. But I am considering it, but it is also an expensive thing to go through. It can cost thousands of dollars to go through this, so it's not an easy thing to just be like, yeah, I'm just going to do it. There is a financial aspect to it also. So, but I think for the peace of mind and having the opportunity to potentially, you know, have a baby later in life, I think it's worth it to me.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like the frustrating part, that egg freezing isn't something that is affordable for some people, because it is very expensive. It sucks, right? Because I just feel like it is important to do for that peace of mind, especially if you are around our age or older. Really, I think anyone should get this done regardless of age, right? Like, if you are 25, 26, 27, like, go look into this. If you could afford it, or if it's covered by your company or healthcare insurance, like, go see if that's something you can do.
I do want to say there is one big misconception when it comes to egg freezing, and that's that you're guaranteed a future pregnancy, and that's just not the case. There's just a lot of layers to that that we'll get into in another episode, but I just wanted to bring that up as well. That's why it's so important to just go in, get all the information you can about your body, and just get that baseline testing if this is something that you're considering doing.
Yeah, I agree. And Deep D and I are thinking of maybe bringing someone from OVA that we could do an interview with, because, you know, even though we know the process, we don't know all the ins and outs or the different factors that need to be considered. If you're considering, you know, going through the egg freezing journey or taking that first step. So I think it'll be really important to any of the pop besties who, you know, are thinking about egg freezing, considering it, or want to know more. Because for me, like, I heard of egg freezing and I thought I knew what it was, but after talking with Ova, I'm like, okay, wow. Like, I actually don't know a whole lot about how it all works and things I need to consider. But also the fact that, as I said, I didn't know a whole lot about my fertility health. So I'm so grateful for Ova. I definitely think that we'll bring someone on from the clinic to speak on this episode and provide more information, because obviously Deepti and I are not medical professionals. So.
Yeah. If you couldn't tell. Yeah, exactly. And that's what it is, right? You just have to make sure you're making the right choice for you and your life. And yeah, I've definitely, just like Natalie said, I've learned so much about myself. Like, I am reading so much about my hormones. It's insane. I was like, wow, there's so much going on in our bodies.
So how are you feeling today? Because I know it's been 2 weeks since your egg retrieval.
Yeah, honestly, I think my body has responded pretty well. After the egg retrieval day, I was feeling very down, very crampy, couldn't work out, which was really hard. Can I just tell you, though, the first period you have after your retrieval day, you're not allowed to use tampons. And I am a tampon girly. And
you are? I'm not. I just wear pads.
Okay.
Is that TMI?
No, it's not TMI. I think we should talk about it, because women go through a lot. And if there are any men listening, I want to say sorry, but I'm not sorry, because this is what women have to deal with. But yeah, I'm a tampon girly, but you can't wear tampons for the first period after your retrieval. And I'm wearing...
Wait, why?
There's too much pressure. So you have to like wear a pad. And Natalie, let me tell you, I hated every minute of wearing a pad, because it brought me back to my middle school days. Like, you know, when you're in class and you're on your period and you're like, oh my God, I don't want to get up, just in case there's like a leak or an accident. I'm like,
no, I know exactly how that feels. The first time I leaked through my jeans when I was in seventh grade, I remember being so scared it would happen again.
Oh,
like
100%.
I would wear two pads sometimes.
Yes. You line them back to back.
Like, it's like the second one would be like almost showing, like the second one would be like almost poking out, like, you know, like showing through my pants. Cause I was like, I will never leak again.
That is the most relatable thing ever, because I am so terrified. And that's exactly why I wear tampons, because I cannot fathom a leak. Like, I am one of those who wears a tampon and a panty liner, because I just, the embarrassment I had when I did leak in school was too much for me.
You're scarred.
I was terrified to the point where even in my apartment, I didn't even sit on the white couches.
You're not sitting on my white couch.
But why do you think I didn't come over? Oh, 100%. I would not feel comfortable in anywhere in your home wearing a pad. I was like, oh, what did I tell
you? Yeah, I know. Well, okay. Listen, I have probably only worn a tampon like 4 or 5 times in my life.
Really?
Like, that's how little I wear tampons. Like, I could count on my hand how many times I've worn one in my entire life. I wear pads only.
Like, what about when you swim?
I just don't go swimming.
Oh.
I don't need to swim. It's only like a few days anyways.
That's true.
But I just prefer them. I know people are going to mention like Diva cups and all these things, but like that just didn't exist when we were younger. So, you know, when it's like something you're not used to and it just feels more comfortable to like do what you've always done for the last, what, like 20 years?
Yes.
So I just stick to pads. The only thing that is sometimes embarrassing, I didn't realize some men don't know anything about like feminine hygiene products. Like,
no.
Just because my dad knows so much about pads and tampons.
Well, he's living with 3 girls.
True. My sister, my mom and I, but he would always buy our pads. He knew which size to get, which brands were the best, like not to get the scented ones, like all of that. He just knew. Mm-hmm. Like, I could tell him like, Dad, I need panty liners. He knew exactly which one the best ones were.
Yeah, same with my dad. He's always the one going to the store getting me that stuff.
100%.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like they know exactly what they are. So I never felt like embarrassed around like any male figure, like family figure in my life about them, because they all kind of knew. Also, women rule my household. Like, there's so many women in my extended family. Like, my mom has 2 sisters who also had a bunch of daughters. And so it's just, that's just my family. But anyways,
The worst is when you're dating a guy that does not know anything about pads or tampons.
Yes.
Because I remember when I was dating New York boy, I don't know if he like hit my butt accidentally, but like you could hear the pad. Oh, he goes, those are really lined pants. Like he thought he hit like my pants were lined with like the sound of a pad. I don't know how to explain it. You know what
he's
I'm
like,
saying?
Are you wearing a butt pad? Like what is this?
I think what he really wants to say is like, are you wearing a diaper? But like he just he didn't. Like he gave me that look after he heard it and felt it. Like it made that like the like when you hit a pad. It made that sound. And I was so embarrassed. And I was like, there's no way. There's no way he felt it. And I remember going to the bathroom afterward and hitting my own butt, like slapping my own ass and being like, what did he feel and what did it sound like? And I was like, no, it feels like a diaper.
Oh, yep. That's the XL overnight pad.
And that's exactly what I was wearing. Dude. Like the size 4. You know, the ones with like the big wings and it goes like really... like really covers your butt crack.
I know sleeping with a pad is my worst nightmare. I'm like, please, really? Like anything but this. Yes. This is why I'm a tampon girly. Like I don't like when people can see my underwear line or like any like thing back there. I don't know. That's just, maybe it's just because I'm so insecure and self-conscious.
Look,
that's me.
You guys know that I love the granny panties. Like it is my choice of underwear. I'm wearing granny panties right now and they're high-waisted. They literally cover my belly button.
Listen, you're at home anyways. But this actually reminds me of that TikTok trend that's going around where girlfriends and wives ask their husbands or boyfriends like random questions about women. And one of them is, in tampons, what does L and S and R stand for? And it's like the light, regular, super size tampons. And men have absolutely no idea what it even means.
I mean, my dad could probably pass. That man knows it all. Our dads probably could.
Oh, 100%.
But after New York boy was like, are you wearing lined pants? I was like, oh, this man doesn't know anything.
This would be New York boy. We hate that man.
I know. I could probably, you know how the different sizes of pads, like they're colored, like on the box, like, the lighter ones, the ones that are for lighter periods are like green. And then like the packaging, if I lied to him and be like, these are the scents, like the taste, he would believe it. Like I'd be like, green stands for green apple and the red is cherry. This motherfucker would think that.
100%.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
But this little trend that's going on TikTok is actually really funny because some of them, I didn't even know what they were called. Like, for example, do you know what a money piece is?
Is money piece like a woman, like something for women? Like it's a term that we would know?
Yeah. And I literally thought to myself, I'm like, am I not a woman? Because I don't know what this is.
No, what is it? I don't know what a money piece is.
Money piece is apparently like a bang that you highlight that goes down and that's a money piece on your head.
I used to love those. I used to love a blonde money piece. Like when you have like the two strands that
those
you dye.
Two strands, yeah.
Yes, I love a good blonde money piece.
Please, can you please get a money piece? That would be...
I used to have one.
What?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like insane. Like it was just light brown. Like my hair can't be light into blonde unless I want to fry it off. But I used to have like these light brown highlights throughout my hair. And my hairstyles gave me like the light brown money piece.
Ooh.
And I looked like, I'm not going to lie, I was like, who am I? I know why it's called
the money piece. Bring
I totally
it back.
Get it. Now I can't because now I have gray hair. So I'm like, you know what? I'm dyeing my hair one color now.
Well,
it is that time of my life.
I love it. We got to embrace it. But yeah. I don't know. This just makes me think about how much women go through, and like between egg freezing, having to wear pads, I'm like, I'm exhausted.
Well, going back to egg freezing, this reminded me of something that I saw a few days ago. So Tyler from season 7, if you remember him, the man with 3 kids, even though he denies that he has 3 kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that Tyler.
Yep. I know Deep Dee and I said that we were done talking about Tyler and Ashley, but he recently did an interview on the Dear Future Wifey podcast, and it was horrible. Like, this man lies like no other man that I've known on reality TV.
Oh, I haven't watched this. Why? What did he lie about?
A bunch of things. Like, first he says, like, I wasn't a part of the pregnancy journey with the baby mama, the mom of his 3 kids. But then he's like, oh, like, I went to 2 appointments. Like, he's constantly contradicting himself. He's lying about things where there's proof, like, out on the internet and on TikTok. So it's just a lot. I'm sure you guys can find clips of it on Instagram and TikTok. But one of the things he said that was really funny is he implies that 2 of his kids were conceived using leftover sperm from the baby mama's first pregnancy. So he has 3 kids with Bri, the baby mama. And he's saying the youngest 2 kids, who are twins, like, he's like, she must have used leftover sperm for the first time I donated. And people are like, is this man dumb? Like, that is not possible.
What?
That's not possible.
Does he, like, own Google?
Like, he's implying, like, she must have, like, frozen that sperm. And people are like, this dumbass must have literally saw somewhere that, like, you know, sperm is frozen when you're donating it. And then I was thinking in my head, as we've learned so much through egg freezing and just, you know, learning different things, the fact that he thinks that you can just freeze sperm at home. No.
Like,
what? Not possible at all. You can Google this. It's not possible to freeze sperm at home in your freezer. You need, like, laboratory equipment, and the temp has to be, like, negative 180 degrees.
Yeah, and it's not even the right environment to be able to thaw it and do that. Like, that makes absolutely no sense. Like, does Tyler own Google? Like, I would be fact-checking myself before I went on a podcast talking about this.
No, I know. And I was like, this dumbass just probably, you know, saw somewhere like, oh, like, you know, to donate sperm, you freeze your sperm, and probably thought, oh, they probably freeze it in a freezer.
Oh, man. Instead
of, like, he's horrible. And I was thinking in my head, I was like, that's probably what he's saying to Ashley. Like, oh, yeah, like, they probably used my leftover frozen sperm.
Do you think she believes that? Because that just, she seems like an educated woman. Like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
I feel like I've seen some clips in interviews that Ashley has done after the show, and really just recently. Mm-hmm. And she really defends him. Like,
yeah. He better be getting scolded behind the scenes, because first of all, why are you even digging yourself in a deeper hole by going on podcasts and, like, doing the whole PR tour? Like, just hide and, like, just let things, like,
no,
settle.
I love it. As someone who's just watching this mess, I'm like, you know what? Let this man lie so that there is proof out there that he's a liar. But you're totally right. If I were him and Ashley, I would not be doing interviews. Like, yeah. Obviously he is in the wrong, and he's clearly lying because his stories make no sense. And the fact he's confident enough to go on public platforms to have these interviews and be caught in these lies, I think shows, like, his narcissism.
Yeah, because does he not think he's going to get caught? Like, obviously there's doctors, nurses, like, people from the actual fertility field that can fact check this right away.
And,
I mean,
and they have.
Like you and people like you and me who just, I don't know, it's just general knowledge that that's not possible too.
It's so crazy. And people from fertility clinics have fact checked him in the comment section of, like, the clips from this interview.
Oh,
and I know Ashley also has been commenting, being like, you know, like, I'm just a girl. Like, I just became a public figure, like, yesterday, as if we should be sympathetic towards her. She did mention in one of the comments of a clip of this interview where she does say, like, essentially implies you know, there's a lot of wrong being done, I think, on his end, and saying like, whatever happens behind closed doors, like the conversations she has with him, like, are private business. Like, she's not going to share them outwardly. But I was thinking, okay, that makes sense. But also, Ashley, you have been defending him in interviews that you have done recently. So pick a lane.
Yeah.
Are you going to keep it behind closed doors and have him take accountability and tell you the full truth? Or are you going to defend him in interviews and make it seem like the baby mama is lying? So I'm like, Ashley, come on, like, choose an action. Like, don't be hypocritical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this couple is just so messy, dude. And I don't know, I'm so over this season. But stop doing interviews. Like, if you just want to keep things private, keep things private. Like, I'm confused. Like, I don't know, man.
I agree. My biggest wish out of all of this is that Ashley and Tyler just go away. I was like, Netflix, stop pushing them into our faces. I don't ever want to see them again. No. But also, my biggest, biggest wish is that I hope those three children grow up and they're super successful. They're raised to have the best personalities. And they're like, fuck this guy who used to be my dad.
And
yes, I hope they make a bunch of money, because supposedly, allegedly, Tyler owes a bunch of money to a bunch of people. And he was supposedly evicted a few times in his life. So I don't know. I just hope they are so successful without him.
Well, you know, speaking of Love is Blind, I need to tell you about this movie I recently watched.
What is it?
It's called Woman of the Hour. Have you heard of it?
I have. I watched half of it. Yes.
Yes. Okay. It's so good. I don't know why I really, really like this show, but
it's probably because it's like Love is Blind and you're like, I could relate.
That plus crime, sign me up. But this movie called Woman of the Hour, it's on Netflix. It's directed by Anna Kendrick, who also stars in this movie. But this story is so fascinating because it's based off of true events about this woman named Cheryl Bradshaw. And she's a contestant on The Dating Game, which is a popular TV show back in 1970s. And this is the original Love is Blind, because basically she's on one side and the three potential matches are on the other side, but she doesn't get to see them. They don't get to see her. And it is so good. But so she essentially has to pick one of the men at the end of it. So she picks this guy named Rodney, and he is a serial killer. Like, talk about having background checks, Natalie. Imagine the producers didn't even like look or screen the men. And it kind of reminded me of Our Love is Blind, where they don't screen men.
Oh, yeah. Because there's one thing to do a background check on, you know, your criminal history or your finances, whatever, like the typical ones that they do for Love is Blind. But there's another thing to vet someone's personality and their psychology, which Love is Blind does do. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how come you're not catching these very shady people?
That's the thing, right, about people like Rodney, who just have psychopathic tendencies, and it's so easy for them to manipulate people and lie. And I don't know, they're also like charismatic at the same time. So it's easy for people to fall into their trap. And that's exactly who Rodney was. It's so messed up. And that's what I loved about this movie so much, and having a woman direct it is so key, because I feel like if a man had directed it, they would focus more on the act of the murder and killing them. But what Anna Kendrick did was kind of focus more on the situations leading up to it. And I think as women, we have all been in situations where like the conversation turns, or you just kind of like all of a sudden feel like fear, and you just don't know who you're on a date with. Like, I think that's the scariest part. And I love how she kind of was able to demonstrate that.
Yeah, I agree. I've actually been on one date and I remember it so clearly. It was in my late 20s when I was living in Boston. The date started fine. He was really friendly, really normal. And then it got a little bit weird where I was trying to end the date. We both had work the next day, and I was like, oh, it's like 10:30. Like, we should call it. He would not let me end it. And he was almost like pressuring me to like continue with the date and almost pressuring me to invite him over to my house. It's hard to explain like how he did that, but he kept saying like, oh, I'm not going to come over, like making these weird jokes about it.
Yeah.
And I think if I was a people pleaser back then, I'd be like, okay, just fine, like come over, or like, yeah, fine, like come have a drink at my place, because that's what he essentially was pushing me to do, like invite him over for a drink. But then I was just like, I'm out. Like, it, yeah, just, I was like, I gotta go home. He makes me feel so like unsafe.
Yeah. Or like when you go on dates with men and like they pay for the whole meal and like something is expected of you after, like I feel like I've been in a situation like that before and you're like, what? Like, absolutely not. But something about being a woman is actually kind of scary, because why is it that whenever we go on a date or a first date, we have to text our friends and family and be like, hey, by the way, I'm sending you my location, so make sure that I don't get kidnapped or something, you know? And that is like a constant fear of ours, that something might happen on this date. But I find that so scary. And I think, I don't know, this movie just kind of like brought all that to light.
So wait, I want to ask, because I didn't finish the movie. Mm-hmm. He doesn't murder her, does he?
He doesn't. She ends up getting away.
But do they date after meeting on the show?
So after meeting on the show, they go on a date. And mm-hmm. during the date, she feels really weird. And he's like trying to have one more drink. And basically, she makes this face at the bartender. And the bartender, who's a woman, she's like, sorry, we're closed. So she's like, thank God, like I can go home. She's walking towards her car. And he's like kind of following her. And there's this moment of just like tension and panic, because he's like, hey, you never gave me your number. And she gives like the wrong number. And he keeps following her and following her. And he goes, can you just like recite that number back to me? But since it's a fake number, she doesn't know the exact like numbers.
Like after you say you don't remember what the numbers you just said. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And it's the most, oh my gosh, gut-wrenching thing ever. And she's like walking towards the car and he's like just stalking her. It's the scariest part of the entire movie, in my opinion.
Oh my gosh.
But she finally gets away because some other men came in. But whew, anyways, I feel like we've all been in that position before where we're scared walking to our cars at night too.
Oh yeah. I think unfortunately the society that we live in is like, if you are a woman, like you do have a greater sense of fear of just what another man can do. I mean, even when I'm just walking on the sidewalk during the day, if I feel like someone's behind me, I get really tense and I have to like turn around and look to see who's, you know, behind me. And sometimes if it's a man, I get a little bit more like, okay, let me just, you know, like hold on to the pepper spray in my pocket type of thing. Cause you just never know.
No, I agree.
Meanwhile, with another woman, I'm like, hey girl.
No, I'm the same way. When I'm walking late at night, I, if someone's following me, I'll like cross the street. And if they follow me, I'm like, ah! No, but you know, they're just meeting somebody. I'm like, I'm paranoid, but
yeah. Or I'm on the phone. I pretend I'm on the phone. I'll be like, mom, I'll be there in 1 minute. Are you tracking my location?
Yes.
I'd be like, I'm almost there.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I've done that even in Ubers where I'm like, oh yeah, I'll see you soon. I'm like pretending to be on the phone with a boyfriend that's non-existent.
The most embarrassing thing is when you're pretending to make like a fake phone call and like, like either the screen actually accidentally shows or someone else calls you and it starts like, and you're like, oh, just, I lost you there for a second. Like you pick up and you're like, sorry.
That would happen to you actually.
No, I do that a lot, especially when someone is trying to talk to me and I just, not in a mean way, don't want to talk to them, but I feel unsafe talking to them. Mm-hmm. I'll pretend I'm on a fake phone call, but I'm not good at it. And I've had instances where I have the phone to my ear and then I get a call as I'm pretending to talk to someone. And so like my ringtone is going and I was like, and I'll pick it up and be like, oh, sorry, I lost you there for a second. The connection must be really bad. And it's like my friend and they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah.
Like, at least you're good on thinking on your feet because. But yeah, dude, actually, though, that's why this movie, I think, is
really good because it just does a good job of showing you like the pressures and the fears that women have to go through sometimes where their safety is not guaranteed. And I don't know, it just did a really good job of reminding you that, like, again, there's a sense of community here, and that is like a feeling that we all feel as women.
Yeah. And that dating shows need to do a better job of vetting these men. Why are all these crazy men, especially on Love is Blind? I was like, where are these men coming from? Like, where are the Tylers, the Trevor from season 6? Like, where are they from? Plus our exes. Like, how were they casted?
I don't know. I feel like there's good quality of women on this show, but it's an interesting pool of men that apply. Actually, or are sought out because they don't apply. Yeah. I think that's where the problem is.
That's true. Like, why are you DMing these men on dating apps and Instagram to get on the show, okay? Like, have better standards here.
Yeah. Clearly, they don't want to apply because they are not looking for a wifey, okay?
You're totally right. Well, anyways, let us know if you have any questions about egg freezing or if you went through the egg freezing journey too. We'd love to hear your story. You could reach out to us or DM us on our Instagram page at Out of the Pods.
And make sure you guys leave a review and subscribe.
See you next Monday.
Bye.